Heavenly Father, we are so glad to be with you this morning. And we thank you for the church which you bought by your blood. And we are a community that will be taken up when the Lord Jesus comes again. And we are a community that will live together eternally in the presence of the living God, fellowshipping, walking, enjoying our Creator, Redeemer, and Maker of the heavens and the earth. And what a foretaste it is for us to live together as a community of God, right from the Genesis, book of Genesis, and till the book of Revelation, and throughout eternity, we see that you have a community for yourself. And that's why you have sent your Son, so that through Him, you would build your community. And we want to hear your word this week again, why we must preach the gospel to ourselves every day, so that we would grow and become the community that you want us to be. Heavenly Father, we pray that you give us listening ears, obeying heart, and we pray that you please do help us to take this message seriously. Heavenly Father, we are here to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are here to grow in Christ-likeness. So these messages are so important in our walk with you, in our growth in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So please do open our eyes, open our ears, open our heart, and we pray for the mighty ministry of the Holy Spirit in every person who is listening. And Lord, have mercy on me too, because I am preaching this message not as a person who is perfect, not as a person who is on the mountaintop, not as a person who is flawless. Heavenly Father, you know how my heart is, how my mind is, how fragile, how weak my life is. And I am utterly dependent on you. And this message applies to me as much as it applies to the brothers and sisters here. So speak to me and to the church, and speak and break me and break the church. Revive me and revive the church. Pray that you be supreme and exalt the ultimate authority of the Word of God. Holy Spirit, take complete possession of this time, and you accomplish your will and purpose in the midst of us. In the name of our beloved Savior, who loved us, gave his life for us, and who is coming again to take his church to be with him forever, we offer this prayer. Amen. Amen. I want to begin with this quote by Joe Thorne, author of Experiencing the Trinity. And this is what he says here. The gospel is forgotten when it no longer functions as our ongoing hope and confidence before God, or when it becomes unessential for the practical daily living of the Christian life. Observe what he says. You forget the gospel when you don't see its relevance to practical daily living of the Christian life. And this is very much true to many people, to a great extent, that a lot of us, many of us, forget the gospel every day as we live our Christian life. We will be engrossed in our work and in our family and sometimes even in the church. And we forget about the gospel, which is essential for the practical daily living of the Christian life. And then Joe continues to say, the gospel we often forget must be reclaimed and retained for the safety of our souls. And this is done through preaching the gospel to ourselves. Wow. What a great statement. May I repeat once again? The gospel we often forget must be reclaimed, retained for the safety of our souls. And this is done through preaching the gospel to ourselves. And that's the reason this whole series of messages, my dear church, that we have today, so that we can reclaim, retain our souls, so that we would be secure in our salvation, work out our salvation. How? Through the preaching of the gospel to ourselves every day. I don't know how many of you are preaching this gospel to your souls every day. If you're not doing that, you're not too late, people. Please take this seriously. Every step. And if you reflect on these 10 factors that I have shared, not a moment will go without we preaching the gospel to ourselves for the safety of our souls. And today, we will look at the 9th factor, why we must preach the gospel to ourselves. And this is a neglected factor in churches. And I say this, that I myself struggle to preach the gospel to myself every day so that I would be committed to preach the gospel to others. And this is very important for us, because many of us in the church are not active in sharing the gospel to others. And that's why we have this factor before us. We must preach the gospel to ourselves every day to stir ourselves up to preach the gospel to others. We must preach the gospel to ourselves so that we can preach the gospel to others. And that's what we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 19. And this is what Paul says: all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. Do you see the gospel here? Paul is writing these words to the church in Corinth, and he's talking about how God, you know, many of us think that God was angry at people, and so Christ came and reconciled, and it was not God's initiation, but it was Christ's initiation. But this is not what the scripture says. The scripture says that, yes, we were worthy of hatred by God because of our sin. We were worthy of the wrath of God because of our sin. We were worthy of condemnation of God because of our sin. But yet God, in company, in fellowship with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, initiated that through Christ we would be reconciled to God himself. Now the word reconciliation is very important, because he used this word in a hostile relationship. When there is enmity between two people, you reconcile them. And that's what Bible says, that because of sin, we were enemies of God. And Christ, and God through Christ, reconciled, which means he restored a broken relationship. He restored the hostile relationship. How? By the blood of Christ, by the suffering of Christ, by the body of Christ, by killing his own son brutally on the cross, God reconciled us to himself. And what a great news this is. And what great love do we see in the heart of the Father, in the heart of the Son, how they, the Trinity, have restored us to the relationship of the Father. And many of us understand this. And many of us are grateful to God for reconciling us to himself. But we forget the other factor that this passage is speaking about. It says here that God reconciled us to himself, which is the gospel. And then what did he do? He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? Go and preach the gospel. Make disciples. This is what evangelism is. This is what gospel ministry is. What is that? It is the ministry of reconciliation, which means that we are reconciling the lost people, the sinners, to fellowship with God by preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without the gospel, there is no reconciliation to God the Father. The whole humanity would be doomed to eternal destruction. And Paul goes on saying, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Now see again the gospel here that Paul mentions. Why God doesn't count their trespasses against them when they deserve to be condemned, when they deserve to be eternally punished? Why is it? Because God counted our trespasses against the Son. Because God counted our trespasses against the Son, he poured out his wrath upon the Son. He satisfied his justice through the atoning work of Christ on the cross. He will not count our sins, our trespasses against us. Why? Because he did that in Christ. And then what did he do again? Entrusting us the message of reconciliation, the gospel ministry. All those who believe in the gospel have the ministry of reconciliation. And the word entrusting is very important, people. You know what is entrusting? Entrusting means he trusted, he deposited, he believed that Ecclesia Evangelical Fellowship will fulfill the message of reconciliation. You know, I remember a story which has just popped up in my mind, which I have read years ago. I don't know when I've read, but this is a beautiful illustration. And this is a legendary story, not a real story. You know, Jesus died on the cross. He accomplished the mission of the Father, and he said, "It is finished." And then he went to the kingdom of heaven after his ascension. And he went to heaven. The angels came to him and asked him how the ministry was, how his mission was, what did he accomplish, and everything. And Jesus explained to the angels everything that he had done. And then he told them that before I came to heaven, I have entrusted to my disciples to preach the gospel to all nations, disciple them, and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. I have entrusted, and I came back to heaven. And then the angels asked the Lord Jesus, "Lord, what if they do not fulfill your great commission? What if they do not fulfill this great commission? What would happen?" And the Lord Jesus says to the angels, "I have no plan B. I trust them. I entrusted this ministry of gospel to them. If they don't do this, if they don't preach the gospel, if they don't make disciples, there is no other way that people would be reconciled to God." And there is a great truth, although it is a fable, although it is a legendary story, there is a great challenge that Jesus has entrusted. He trusted that Martin will preach the gospel. He trusted that Arun will preach the gospel. He entrusted that George will preach the gospel. Mary would preach the gospel. Lavanya would preach the gospel. Madhuri will preach the gospel. Every member in the church, he entrusted. He trusted Ecclesia that we would fulfill the Great Commission, preach the gospel, be involved in this message of reconciliation. And what a great trust the Lord has given to us. And it has come to us through the gospel. And by reflecting on the gospel, we should be challenged to go and preach the gospel. A.C. Gablin says, "Having reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, God the Father also given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Having brought us into this blessed position through grace, he calls us to make it known to others and lead others to him. What we have received, we are to use in our ministry. And every reconciled one is called into this service to exercise the ministry of reconciliation and be a soul winner." Observe this, people. Every reconciled one, which means every born-again believer, every one who is saved, every one who is reconciled to God the Father, is called into this service. Which service? Gospel ministry, ministry of reconciliation, to exercise the ministry of reconciliation and be a soul winner. My dear brothers and sisters, you know what is a very sad thing when I think about this factor? The greatest problem that I see is not that people are not preaching the gospel. The greatest problem is there is no guilt. I'm not talking about condemnation. I'm talking about sacred guilt. I'm talking about this conviction. I'm talking about this conscience in our hearts bothering us. Stephen, you're not preaching the gospel. You're not involved in the ministry of reconciliation. You are living a barren Christian life. You are not a soul winner. That agony. Do we have it, people? This is one of my agonies in my Christian life. And I don't know how many times I wrestle with God. I want to be a soul winner. I don't want to be a barren Christian. People, this agony is very important, because if there is no agony, we will not be committed to the ministry of the gospel. The greatest problem in the church today is not that people are not preaching the gospel. There is no agony that they are not preaching the gospel. Their hearts are dead. They have become so worldly. They have engrossed in their own world, but there is no focus on the message of the kingdom of God. I still remember years back, an old missionary he was. Actually, he was a great doctor in one of the great hospitals of India. And he said to me one day, "Stephen, do you know one thing? When people don't pray, they feel guilty that they are not praying. When they don't read the Bible, and they feel guilty that they are not reading the Bible. If they don't go to church, the neighbor will ask you actually. You don't have to ask yourself. The neighbor himself will ask you, 'Hey, today is Sunday. Have you not gone to the church?'" And he said to me, "But Stephen, do you know one thing? Weeks goes by, months goes by, these Christians don't preach the gospel, and there is no guilt. There is no bothering conscience. There is no conviction. They are dead." And that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. And I agree with that old brother in the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, let's awaken to this great commission that God has given to us. Let's know what Christ has done for us. Listen to this carefully. Christ left heaven to save sinners. Can't we leave our comfort zones to preach the gospel? Christ suffered brutally for our sins. Can we suffer a little to preach the gospel? Christ was rejected and humiliated for our sins. Can we face rejection and humiliation for preaching the gospel? Christ unashamedly died for our sins. Shouldn't we feel unashamed to preach the gospel? Christ saved us through the preaching of the gospel by others to us. Shouldn't we also let him use our preaching of the gospel to save others? How many of us have come to the Lord because someone has preached the gospel to us? I still remember, you know who was the person who preached the gospel to our family? And today, my brother has come to the Lord and he is a pastor. I myself have come to the Lord and I am a pastor. And my sister is a pastor's wife. And most of our family involved in ministry. You know why? Because a sales medical representative. He is not a great theologian. He was a simple man. And he was not a very skillful man. Not a good looking person. Not a great understanding, knowledgeable person. But just he was preaching the gospel to my brother. He was chasing my brother week after week. And finally my brother came to the Lord. And my family came to the Lord. And today we see how we are used one normal, ordinary brother to preach the gospel, and what great things the Lord has done in our family. People, we have no idea what God will do as we continue to preach the gospel. We are called to the responsibility to preach the gospel to others. We are not responsible for the response of the people when they hear the gospel, when we preach to them. And these are the two factors that we learn, people. Many of us understand one factor, but we don't understand the other factor. What are the two factors that we learn from this? The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Yes, we all know that. Acts 4:12. There is no other name under heaven given to man except in the name of Jesus, for people to receive forgiveness of sins, for people to come to the knowledge of the truth, for people to receive salvation. Jesus is the only way. And I remember what one great preacher says. He says that if there was any other way besides Jesus for people to be saved, Jesus would not have died on the cross. He would not have suffered on the cross. He would not have become a man, lived among us, and he suffered, died, paid the price, and he rose from the dead. Jesus wouldn't have done all these things if there was any other way. The reason he had to become a man, because he was the only mediator. The reason he had to go to the cross, because Jesus is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Without him, no one can come to the Father. We understand this, but do we also understand the other factor? What is that? The preaching of the gospel is the only way people come to know the way of salvation. If you understand that this is the gospel, what Jesus had done, then the preaching of the gospel is the only way people come to know the way of salvation. Angels will not come to from heaven and preach the gospel to others. God himself will not speak from heaven to the whole world, telling, "Oh world, do you hear this? I loved you so much. I gave my son to you. Believe in him." God himself will not speak from the voice of heaven. He will not send his angels to preach the gospel. He has entrusted this gospel ministry, ministry of reconciliation, to the church. And it is only through the preaching of the gospel that people come to know the way of salvation. If Jesus is the only way to save people, the church is the only medium to preach the gospel to the lost world. Are you understanding, people? If Jesus is the only way to save the world, then church is the only medium, only agent, only ambassador, only means to proclaim this gospel to the world. And if we are not doing this, we are making the work of Christ on the cross go in vain. We have to preach it, because the Bible says here in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. It says here, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, the Bible says, will be saved. But here you see that if a person calls on the name of the Lord, will be saved. It says that how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? It is only when you believe the gospel that you will call on the name of the Lord to save them. And then Paul goes on saying that, "And how will they believe in him of whom they have never heard?" They have to hear to believe, and they have to believe to call on the name of the Lord. And then you see what he says, "And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" If you and I don't preach the gospel, how will those around us hear the gospel? And if they do not hear the gospel, how will they believe? And if they do not believe, how will they call upon the name of the Lord? And if they don't call upon the name of the Lord, how will they be saved? And it says here, "And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." You know, many of us focus on the face that is beautiful. Many of us focus on the dress that is beautiful. Many of us focus on the house to keep it beautiful. We do many things, which is good. But what about our feet? How ugly our feet is? Why? Because we are not preaching the gospel. You know, I love what Warren Wiersbe says here. A beautiful encouragement that he gives here from this Romans, which speaks about how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. He says here that Jesus Christ died to make reconciliation possible. Listen carefully. Jesus Christ died to make reconciliation possible. You and I must live to make the message of reconciliation personal. Which means Jesus made salvation possible. But by you proclaiming the gospel to others, people come to know Jesus Christ. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We are his ambassadors of peace. Our feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It says in Ephesians 6:15, "And wear this shoes of the gospel of peace." And then it says in Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And this is what is a gospel ministry. The gospel ministry is a peacemaking ministry, because we are bringing peace between God and man who were separated because of sin. And I love this illustration that Warren Wiersbe gives. A missionary was preaching in the village market, and some of the people were laughing at him because he was not a very handsome man. He took it for a time, and then he said to the crowd, "It is true that I do not have beautiful hair, for I am almost bald. Nor do I have beautiful teeth, for they are not mine. They were made by the dentist. I do not have a beautiful face, nor can I afford to wear beautiful clothes. But this I know, I have beautiful feet." And he quoted the verse from Isaiah, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And Warren Wiersbe asked this question, do you have beautiful feet? You may have beautiful teeth, but do you have beautiful feet? You may have beautiful face, but do you have beautiful feet? You may have beautiful body, but do you have beautiful feet? A beautiful house, do you have beautiful feet? The beautiful feet that matters. I think that when we die and stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you know, the Lord may look at the feet. Stephen, why is it that your feet are so dirty? Oh, I washed every day, Lord Jesus. I'm not talking about washing with the water. Did you keep it clean by preaching the gospel? Why haven't you preached the gospel and made your feet ugly? Because in the kingdom of heaven, it is not the face that matters or your beautiful face that matters. In the kingdom of heaven, what matters is the beautiful feet. And you keep your beautiful feet by preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to preach this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to others, you preach this gospel to yourself every day. We say that, Lord, you have done so much for me. Can't I do this little thing for you? You have laid your life for me. Can't I give my life to the ministry of reconciliation? Can't I come out of my own world, of my own dreams, of my own busy world, and think about how can I preach this gospel, which is the only way for people to come to know Christ, who is the only way for people to be saved? Do I preach this gospel to myself so that I would preach this gospel to others? You know, John G. Payton, who lived between 1824 to 1907, he was a great missionary to New Hebrides. And the interesting thing about John G. Payton is this. You know, when he was ministering among these people, actually these people were cannibals, where they eaten and killed the two missionaries who went before John G. Payton. And yet John G. Payton goes and he preaches the gospel, and so many people have come to know the Lord in that island, in that brutal cannibal people. Many have come to know the gospel. And he speaks about, you know, an 8-year-old boy who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and who was dying because of tuberculosis. You know that in the olden times, TB was like cancer. People were dying. And this 8-year-old boy, just 8-year people, he died of TB. But because this 8-year-old boy believed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his heart was filled with joy. Because he knew that he was about to die because of TB, and his heart was filled with joy because he was about to see Jesus face to face. And he was so excited about this hope of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And when this 8-year-old boy was dying on his deathbed, his name was John Sim, and he said to his parents that, Daddy, Mommy, I am going soon to be with Jesus. But I sometimes fear that I may not see you there. What a bold statement he made. I fear that I don't see you there. That's my fear. He was not confident about it. He was not judging them. He was just expressing his concern that I may not be able to see you where I will be going. And the mother was weeping because this child was dying. And the mother said, why so, my child? Why do you think that we will not be there? And this dying boy, 8-year-old boy, as he was entering into the presence of Jesus, he said to his parents, because if you were set upon going to heaven and seeing Jesus there, you would pray about it and sing about it. You would talk about Jesus to others and tell them of that happy meeting with him in glory. All this my dear Sabbath school teacher taught me, and she will meet me there. Now, why did you not, my father and mother, tell me all these things about Jesus if you are going to meet him too? What a great challenging question that this boy has asked his parents. Why didn't you preach the gospel to me? Why didn't you teach me that Jesus is the only way of salvation? Why didn't you show me the way to heaven? Why didn't you bring me up in the gospel? Why did you neglect teaching me? If you really believed in heaven, if you really believed there is hell, if you really believed Jesus is the only way, why didn't you preach the gospel to me? Oh, how many parents are not preaching the gospel to their children? And it's not just about children. My dear people, we are obligated to preach the gospel to all kinds of people, to neighbors, to friends, to relatives, to family members, to strangers, to colleagues in the workplace. We are obligated to preach the gospel. We cannot change their lives. We cannot force them to believe in Christ. But we faithfully fulfill the commission God has given to us. We are fulfilling the entrustment of the God to us when we preach this gospel to others. Now here is a challenging question, my dear brothers and sisters, to you and me. When was the last time you preached the gospel to someone? When was the last time? You may be a housewife. You may be a working person. You may be any person. Old or young, male or female, children if they believe in the gospel. When was the last time you preached the gospel to someone? Just think about this. And this question should really bother your conscience, people, not to condemn you. I'm not telling that we should not fall into condemnation. That is good for nothing. That is not going to help us. We should be bothered in our conscience. We should have this agony, this guilt that I am not preaching the gospel to others. I must commit myself to preach the gospel to others. You may be doing very good in your studies. You may be doing very good in your job. You may be doing very good in the church. You may be doing very good in the family. But how good are you doing in fulfilling the ministry of reconciliation? How are we preaching the gospel to someone? Shouldn't we preach the gospel to ourselves, people? This is the reason why we must preach the gospel to ourselves. In light of the gospel, I should be grateful to God for reconciling me to Himself. Lord, I thank you that I was a lost sinner. You revealed your glory. You brought me to the cross. We should be forever grateful to God for saving us. But that's not enough, my dear brothers and sisters. In light of the gospel, I should be active in the ministry of reconciliation, preaching the gospel and reconciling others to God. People, listen to this carefully. If I am truly grateful to my Lord Jesus for saving me, I will be faithful in proclaiming the gospel to others so that the Lord Jesus would also save them. Are you understanding what I'm telling? If you and I are not simply playing lip service, but truly grateful to the Lord, Lord, I thank you for saving me. If you and I are really grateful to the Lord Jesus, we will be faithful to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to others. If you and I are not faithful in proclaiming the gospel of Christ to others, you and I are not really grateful to the cross, grateful to the grace God has given us, grateful for His divine salvation, gift of eternal life that He has given to us. A grateful person for receiving salvation will be a faithful person in preaching the gospel to the lost. And I want to encourage you and myself, the whole church today. I'm not telling that I'm an expert in this. I need this message. You need this message. We all have to commit ourselves this morning. Lord, forgive me for being unfaithful. I'm so engrossed in my world. Forgive me for neglecting this ministry of reconciliation. And may we preach this gospel to ourselves so that we can preach the gospel to others. You know, Nirikshan sung this beautiful song this morning. And that's what it says. If your eyes are on Jesus, our eyes will also be on proclaiming the gospel. Do you hear these people? If your eyes are on Jesus, our eyes will also be on proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how beautiful this song goes like this. And let's sing once again, wherever we are, so that we can bother our conscience. We will not let our conscience be dead. We will not ever let our conscience be lukewarm. We will not let our conscience be insensitive, desensitized. No. Let us bother our conscience this morning. Awaken our conscience. Preach the gospel to our conscience. How long it has been that we are not preaching the gospel. How we are neglecting this great commission. How we are busy building our own kingdom, not concerned about building the kingdom of God. Oh, let's bother our conscience as we sing this song this morning. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's go to the world, people, that is dying, and tell his perfect salvation to people. Whether they listen or not, we are not responsible. We are responsible only to preach this glorious gospel to others. We must preach the gospel to ourselves every day, so that we would preach the gospel to others.
Thank you for listening to the message. We believe you have been greatly encouraged in your heart. Stephen David also writes articles that are relevant to today's generation. You may read them on his blog, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. I repeat, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. You may also email him at cstephendavid@gmail.com. I repeat, cstephendavid@gmail.com. Grace and peace be to you.